Hey everybody, this is Gene Troyer. I'm the lead pastor of Restore Church, and what a pleasure it is to welcome you to our podcast. It's my hope that you will be marked by love and encouraged in your faith and inspired to become all God has created you to be. Now I invite you to lean in and enjoy the podcast.
In the depths of despair, I don't even know what I need. I don't care that my home is in shambles and that I have 20 loads of unwashed laundry. It seems hopeless and futile. I feel like a burden, a failure, a shame to my family. I can't do much of anything. I'm not okay. Has anyone ever told you that? Have you ever said it? Or maybe you've wished you could say it. I'm not okay. Hard words to say because these words are a cry for help. And sometimes we don't do well with asking for help. Today specifically, I want to address this as it relates to mental health. It's a cry the church hasn't listened to or dealt with very well. According to CNN Health, mental health is one of the biggest pandemic issues we'll face in 2021. As the physical risks of COVID-19 have become better managed with vaccine progress, the mental darkness of the crisis will be harder to overcome. From job loss to burnout of our frontline workers, isolation, virtual learning, fear of the unknown to fear of the known sickness. These things have taken a toll on our marriages, our friendships, and our mental well-being. Now, prior to the pandemic, approximately 1 in 5 adults in the U.S., which is about 47 million people, experienced mental illness in a given year. Now, more than 1 in 3 adults in the U.S. have reported symptoms of anxiety or depressive disorder during the pandemic. Mental illness, ranging from depression and anxiety to disorders like manic, bipolar, and schizophrenia, a brain disorder. Unlike acne, bad eyesight, torn ligaments, and broken bones, which seem like pretty common and easily solved physical issues, mental health disorders are seemingly complex, misunderstood, and even misrepresented. And we're looking at more cases than ever as a result of this pandemic. So what do we do about mental illness? I even struggle with the term mental illness, but we're simply categorizing. It's of the brain, so mental, versus something like colon cancer, which is somewhere physical. Perhaps we can begin to see mental illness as physical illness. After all, the brain is the part of the body. But there's been this attitude about mental illness that I believe must be changed. A sickening, almost piety, keeping those with it suffering quietly and alone for far too long. It's time we stepped up our awareness and support. And I'm speaking specifically to the church right now. We need to start standing alongside our brothers and sisters, encourage professional and medical help, let them know they're not alone, that they can find a safe place to share and to be, that a brain illness is nothing to be ashamed of and should no longer need to be hidden. You know, our physical bodies do this all the time, this thing of helping. So a bug flies into your eye and instinctively your eye closes and your hand goes up. You twist your ankle and you can't walk on it. Your other leg does extra work to take the load off while the hurt leg heals. And as the body of Christ, as members of one body, we need to do the same. When a brother or sister is struggling or suffering, we need to instinctively help carry the load. But how, you ask? Well, we don't judge and criticize. We don't over-spiritualize. Like our bodies that don't even hesitate to think about what to do, that's how we should be. No hesitation, no judgment, no shame. Be quick to sit with, listen to, encourage, but don't lecture. Pray for, maybe do the laundry, the dishes, or just show up. 2 Corinthians 1:4 says, "Blessed be the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction." Now, I think we can agree that one of the consequences of the fall is the corruption of God's good and perfect creation, our bodies. Our earthly lives are limited, and eventually our physical bodies will fail us. This also applies to our brains. The hope that I want to share is that is what is constant throughout Scripture is that God provides comfort to the suffering, He meets the needs of the brokenhearted, and that God wants to use all of it, the suffering, the brokenness, the despair. Look at the lives of David, Jonah, and Job, just to list three. While there's a lot of redemption, healing, and restoration in their stories, they're also filled with despair, anger, depression, suffering, and loneliness. They questioned God. They ran from Him. There was deliberate disobedience and some bad timing. Sometimes we experience illness and suffering as consequences of our decisions. Sometimes it's unfair results of unfortunate events or things done to us by a broken human. So let's not play role of judge. Let's learn how to love and care for each other well in this corrupted world that we live in. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5:7 that we're to cast all of our anxieties on Him because He cares for us. I don't think it would be in the Bible if God didn't think and didn't know that we were going to have worries and struggles and suffering. He actually says in John 16 explicitly, "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Now, I've not personally experienced a mental health disorder, but I have been impacted by it, and I'm guessing many of you have as well. I have friends who have lived it or are currently living with it. Everything from slight depression, postpartum, and anxiety to panic attacks to bipolar and borderline personality disorder. Some of you have lost friends and family to suicide because of it. I've listened to many stories and to those who counsel people with mental health issues. I'm trying to learn to understand and not to fix, and I hope you'll join me. Can we bridge this gap? Now, no two mental illnesses are alike. Much like the complexities of some physical illnesses or disease, there's no cookie-cutter approach. Yes, there are categories or generalities, but for example, like with the Enneagram, I can have the same number as you, but we are still very different and very unique people. We'll find comfort in our sameness. However, when you're a different number, even if I've read the Enneagram book about all the numbers, sometimes I just don't know how to react or interact with you because I don't fully understand you. So, likewise, we can't just read a book about mental health disorders and fully understand a person's unique illness and know what they might need. However, as we talk about it more and more, I believe you'll find a lot of people feeling the same way you do, struggling with similar thoughts. And you'll find comfort in not being alone, in feeling understood. You know, I just don't understand some Enneagram numbers, like how someone is and thinks like their number is described. Same with mental illness. I don't understand it because I only know about it and haven't lived it. Especially the deeper and darker times when people trip into paranoia and recklessness, hearing voices, seeing creatures, acting in ways that are not close to their values or personality. They may become delusional. Suicide may feel like the only way out. If you, like me, have never personally experienced any part of that, and we haven't taken the time to educate ourselves, we won't know how to respond or how to be. We won't know that we may need to just listen without saying a word, without doing anything, or that we may need to encourage professional help. See, we tend to want to make sense of it. I know I do. I want to understand it. But then when we think we know, we tend to label it. Oh, she's depressed or anxious, so that's why she's doing this. But I don't know anything about all that, so I'm just going to stay away. Why do we label, though? It condemns and shames people. We call people anxious, depressed, manic, bipolar. Perhaps it's our way of excusing our lack of engagement, our ignorance, because we don't know how to respond, interact, help. Because we're unfamiliar and uninformed, we put them in a box of, I don't know what to do. So then it's also our issue. Shame on us. Now, I'm not an expert, and I'm certainly not giving three steps or a solution. I simply want to help lift the stigma, especially from the Christian perspective. My own perception has been challenged. My beliefs, my opinions demolished. I had definitely over-spiritualized mental health disorder. I'd have even said that suicide is selfish. But as I've listened to my friends, to Voices of Experience, and to many podcasts, my opinion has changed. My heart has opened. Mental illness is not weak, evil, and not always spiritual, much like physical illness. But I will admit, at one time, not so long ago, I would have believed it was a spiritual battle that could and should be won. See, I'm quick to say that the Lord can heal any sickness or disease, but I know that He doesn't always. I know that sometimes His ways are different than mine. Sometimes healing takes medical intervention, and sometimes healing doesn't happen here on earth. But I also believe God still works in spite of it and through it. So what made me think that mental health would be any different than physical health when it comes to God's healing? I really don't know, but I believe many of you would have the same opinion I had once, and it's really destructive. It isolates. It makes those suffering with mental illness feel weak and alone, afraid of rejection and being misunderstood. Now, yes, I believe sometimes it is spiritual, and sometimes components are spiritual, like wounds from the past that need to be healed by God, or forgiveness we need to extend in order to move forward. But the wound may have caused trauma that alters the brain, it stunts maturity, causes an actual chemical imbalance, and it may need medical and professional intervention. Taking medication or going to therapy for mental illness doesn't show a lack of faith in the ability of the Lord to sustain us through the suffering. We accept that there's no cure for certain cancers, cystic fibrosis, MS, and we agree that the symptoms should be treated, no questions asked. Funny, not funny, how we're okay with going to the doctor and taking medication for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, but not that sort of treatment for mental health. The church has said, why can't you forgive, repent, renounce, and get over it? Be strong. You shouldn't have to rely on meds. Yet it's okay for someone to choose to take meds for high cholesterol instead of eating differently. You're not labeled as high blood pressure, but as your name. Like, we don't say, hi, this is Joe, and he has high blood pressure. The physical is treated so differently, and it's accepted. Come to think of it, no one has introduced me as Brenda in menopause. And it's not because I've been quiet about my menopause weight journey. Nothing worked. I ate less, I exercised. I needed outside help. While menopause is not widely talked about yet, it's certainly acceptable to get medical help. No one told me I should have prayed more or had more faith. I may have slapped them. Now, granted, a physical limitation like mine, like high blood pressure, doesn't necessarily affect our human interactions with people like a mental illness can. I get that. But our shaming and ghosting responses are death to those experiencing and living with mental health issues. Compassion is key. Listen to me, friends. More important than trying to diagnose, figure out why it happened, or even to understand the illness and make sense of it, is that we care about the individual. Because you know what? It's possible that we can do all the right things, tick all the boxes, and find there's still no relief from the illness. Compassion. How do we care well? Ignorance can no longer be an excuse. So roll up your sleeves, remember the words of Jesus, and listen to what my friends have said to me. Let's start with scripture. Psalm 34:18 says, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit." That's a promise. Romans 12:10 says, "Be devoted to tenderly loving your fellow believers as members of one body." That's kind of a directive. Matthew 7:12 says, "In everything you do, be careful to treat others in the same way you'd want them to treat you." Romans 8:1 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Please notice there are no exceptions and there's no exclusions. Galatians 6:2 says, "Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." And we know the law of Christ to be love God, love your neighbor. Now, I posted a couple weeks ago on my social media story and asked people, anybody that's dealt with mental health, what is one thing you wish people would do, not do, or just simply know? And I'd like to read you some of those responses. "Don't say that my suffering is caused because I have lack of faith. It's spiritual people that cause a lot of mental problems to begin with. Don't try to give me lots of reasons why I shouldn't be afraid. I know I shouldn't, but I am." "No cliches, especially not, you're stronger than you think you are. Listen to me without telling me everything will be okay. In my head, it's not. Just let me know you hear me, see me, and love me no matter how anxious or depressed I get. And show me that you're vulnerable too. Otherwise, I feel like there's something wrong with me. And if it looks like you're always okay, I'll shut down." The enemy loves to make us believe we're alone, right? And then we'd keep our struggle to ourselves. Another one. "Don't assume because I'm strong that I don't struggle too. Biggest thing is to have someone be consistent in asking how I'm truly doing. And when I do share, respond by hearing me and not ignoring or feeling awkward. Sometimes it's not so much about needing help as it is just being seen." "Just be present rather than try to fix me. I need to know I'm loved as I am." "Know how to meet someone where they are and not try to fix. Just meet them, be there, sit with them, even when it's hard or awkward. Showing up means the world." "Know that it can often feel like someone is dismissing my anxiety." "Don't try to fix it. Help me cope and breathe and come back to the present." See, it's super important, friends, to hold space for them to be where they are on their journey. "Check in without expectations, like, hey, thinking of you, or you don't need to respond, but here's this. Notice signs of anxiety, make the other person stop, and just hug or hold them for a moment. Know that medication can be a help for a season, but it's not the hope. In order to get well emotionally and mentally, most of the time you need to look back in order to move forward. Let God heal the wounds from the past." This kind of echoes Gene's words in his talk last week about hindsight being 20/20 and how sometimes we have to look back to gain perspective and resolve what hasn't been taken care of and then move forward. "So acknowledge my progress. Help me see where I've healed and how far I've come. It helps me to keep going, to keep working through my stuff." And finally, my friend who I quoted at the very beginning also says, "When I'm not stable, I have no sense of my faith, no confidence that God even exists, and no ability to activate my faith to help improve my outlook or circumstances. It's easy to label the chaos and darkness Satan, instead of understanding this as an illness, just as we understand other physical illnesses as medically valid." Do you hear? These voices are showing us how to love better, how we can be more compassionate, how we can bridge that gap between us and them. Many of you are experiencing some degree of mental illness. 1 in 5. Actually, now it's 1 in 3. You may be just slightly depressed or feeling anxious, or you may be in a fog of confusion because of the severity of the disorder. I wonder if you would give us a do-over. We want to engage and not be awkward or aloof. We want to acknowledge you and give you space to be where you are on your journey. Ecclesiastes 3 talks about seasons and how there's a season for everything under the sun. The church should be a safe place where you can be open and honest in this season. A safe place where a mental health disorder is accepted as real. Where we can rally alongside you and pray with you. Not diagnose and give our opinions, but pray with, love on, and care for you as you walk the season of your journey. Whatever that looks like. Again, everyone will need something different, but we commit to doing better. And if we can do that, could you find one person that you would open up to when they check in on you? Someone you can commit to sharing with, who can encourage you or just sit with you? Someone who can remind you of truth or just hold you? Someone who can come and clean your house or do your laundry, take care of the kids, bring a meal, or just show up? Now, if you don't struggle, if you can't relate to mental health issues, be ready to be that safe place, to be that one person to someone. Ask the questions, check in, create space for expressing emotions, allowing them their process no matter how difficult it is to watch. Love them through it. Hold space in your heart for them. Watch for the signs. But don't wait until a crisis to intervene. Friends, if you know someone is depressed or manic, don't tell them to reach out. It's quite possible they can't. Take the initiative when you see they're low, when they need a friend. Be a safe place. Don't diagnose, try to fix, or give advice. See them. Care and love them right where they are. Be consistent even when you don't know what to do or what to say. Remember, compassion is the key. Church, let's commit to adjusting our perspective. Can we do that? Can we commit to grace, to love, and to compassion? No more shaming or ghosting or over-spiritualizing. We need to stop ignoring this issue so that this hidden disease can be exposed so that healing can come more quickly. Mental health disorders are a disease of the brain and the mind. They need our care and our attention just as much as physical diseases. After all, we've been saying that mental disorder is physical since the brain is part of the body. And speaking of bodies, as the body of Christ, we need to do much better at taking care of and encouraging our members. Jesus is with us. He meets us each right where we are, in our muck. He isn't impatient and dismissive, critical, or surprised. He meets all of us wherever we are on our journey. Friends, if you're suffering or struggling with a mental health disorder, please know that you're not alone. Your faith is not broken. God is for you. He is with you in this season, and we are with you if you'll give us a second chance. See, we were created with DNA that's wired for relationship and community. So as Satan would want to keep us isolated and keep us away from community, let's just say no. Let's acknowledge the stigma and destroy it so we can begin again in healthy community. Open and honest about the real stuff that we deal with. If you need immediate help, use these resources on the bottom of this screen. Restore Worship is joining us now, and they're going to be singing their newly released song, Never Walk Alone. The words are powerful, written from a place of struggle. Maybe you'll be able to relate. Listen and let the words soak deep into your spirit. And then I wonder if you would commit to either opening up to that one person who asks about you, or commit to reaching in to be that person for someone else. We truly are better together.
Thanks for joining us for today's episode. Please rate and review us on Spotify and iTunes, and join us again for next week's podcast. We love you and pray blessing and peace over you and your family.